Well, I'm glad they don't have that timer going right now. That's for sure. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Good morning. It's a couple days after Christmas, after the fact, and Happy New Year, a few days early before the new year. Did you have a great Christmas? I trust you did. I had a very great Christmas this year, and my oldest daughter surprised me in a way that I did not expect. Gave me something that I wasn't even thinking of or expecting. Would you like to see what it is? Well, it's actually a gift behind the gift, so I'll show it to you right now, okay? She got me a new t-shirt. Great dads are promoted to grandpas. It's our first, of course. Many of you have been recommending this to us. And I can, of course, take a whole lot of credit for all this. You know what I'm saying? And the only part of the t-shirt that bothered me, though, is I thought about it a little bit more deeply. It's even bad dads get promoted to grandpas. So I don't know how that works. But very special indeed. How many of you had a fantastic Christmas? You'd say you were just wonderstruck this year. It was the best ever fantastic Christmas. I see your hands. Great. We've been praying for that, and that's just super to hear. How many of you would say it was just kind of an average year this year, another Christmas here and gone? Okay. How many of you would say, not such a good year, I'm ready to just kind of move on? A few of you as well. I'm kind of with that last group. Not because I don't like Christmas, I love Christmas, but you get to that point where you're ready to just move on. You don't want to hear that grandma got run over by the reindeer anymore and, you know, let it snow, we don't need any more snow, and oh, holy night, how many more times can you hear all that? And you're just ready to move on to the new year. And so I'm excited about the prospect of 2014, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. Think with me for a moment about this possibility. What if somebody credited you, your bank account, for $86,400 every single day? Wouldn't that be awesome? Every day, another 86 grand put into your account, but there was one glitch. At the end of the day, it was all zeroed out. You either use it or you lose it. And so what would you do with that money? Well, you'd find a way to use it, right? You'd spend it on all those Christmas presents you didn't get or weren't able to give, and you would invest it wisely, pay off some debts, do some things with it, because at the end of the day, it's gone. You would use it, right? Well, that hypothetical financial scenario is exactly what we have every day of our lives with time. We are given 86,400 seconds every day, and at the end of the day, they're zeroed out. You can't carry them forward to the next day, so you either use it or lose it. Say that with me and do it with me. Use it or lose it. All right, this crowd is awake, I think, so we'll keep you awake that way, and if your neighbor's falling asleep, when you let them know, you'll lose it. Three things to remember about time, realities. But it was Benjamin Franklin that said, time is the stuff that life is made of. And he's right. All these little compilations of time added together add up to a lifetime, a lifespan. And so the question is, what are we doing with our lives? Are we using that time wisely, or are we squandering it foolishly? Are we living our lives for the glory of God? And so as we look at the prospect of a new year, I want us to think about the reality of time and think a little bit more deeply about it today. Three realities. Here's the first one. Each day is a gift. Each day is a gift. Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 7. If you don't have a Bible today, please avail yourself of one of the pew Bibles in front of you, or look on with somebody else. It's page 1773 in the pew Bible. And you can just flip to that page. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7, is just a series of three questions that lead us to some obvious answers. Follow along as I read. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Let me read that again. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not? Think about that. What do you have that you did not receive? I like how 1 Timothy chapter 6 tells us. He says, you brought nothing in the world, and you're going to carry nothing out. When we arrived on the scene, we had nothing, not even any clothes on our back. And that's why when you see somebody on the way out, you don't see a U-Haul behind a hearse, because you can't take anything with you, right? What do you have that you didn't receive? Where did it all come from? It came from God. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. Even the breath that we breathe, every day that we have, it comes from God. It's a gift. And so why do we boast as if it's all ours? It's our stuff to do what we want. It's our time to do what we want. No, no, no. It's a gift to be used for Him. Now, let's say a friend of yours had a need, and you knew of that need, and so you went out and you sacrificed, and you got just that item, and you paid buku bucks, and you bought it, you brought it home, you wrapped it beautifully in some nice wrapping paper, you put a big fat bow on it, and you took it to your friend, and you said, "Merry Christmas, I love you, I just want you to have this." And so your friend tears it open and goes, "Wow, great, thank you, just what I wanted, just what I needed, awesome." Time passes. Next summer, you're out doing a little garage sale, and you notice your neighbor has a garage sale, so you stop by. You start rummaging around on the tables, and some of you know where this is going, and there it is on the corner of the table with a $1 sticker on it, still in the original packaging, obviously hasn't been used. What are you going to do? Well, you're going to buy it, right? Re-gift it. Put it on eBay. Woo! My great day. Now, you're probably going to be a little bit miffed about that, right? I can't believe it. I did all that and they didn't even use this thing. I wonder sometimes if that's how God feels. He gives us the gift of time and we don't even unwrap it. We don't even use it for the purposes it was meant for. And so here's the first insight today. With opportunity comes what? Responsibility. With opportunity comes responsibility. We are stewards of the time, the talents, the treasure, all of that, and God wants us to use it for Him, for His honor, and for His glory. So, when it comes to time, what do? You either, do it with me, use it or lose it. Okay, some of you are already falling asleep on me. You got to do that together, all right? Use it or lose it. Because I want you to remember this. Important. Here's the second reality of time. Time must be redeemed. It has to be redeemed. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, that we have to redeem the time. Please read this together with me. We'll all read it together. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Redeeming the time. What does it mean to redeem the time? In the context here, it's talking about walking circumspectly. That word walk means your life. Anytime you see that in the Bible, your walk with the Lord, it's your life with the Lord. How are you walking? What's going on in your life? And how are you to walk? You're to walk circumspectly. The word there means carefully. It's kind of the picture of walking on thin ice. You ever been on thin ice and it starts cracking beneath your feet and you're very careful about the very next step you take because you know you could go down. And so you're carefully walking, you're being careful. Why? In context here is because you don't want to be a fool. Fools don't care, they just go right, plunge right in. But if you're going to be wise, you're going to be walking carefully. You're going to be looking at the opportunities around you and seizing them. Fools just kind of go through life and they live life and whatever happens, happens and they go on with it and so what, right? But the wise walk circumspectly, carefully. Why? They want to redeem the time. The word redeeming there means to buy back. It's like a rebate coupon or something like that. How many of you like to spend big money at Menards? Okay, that's me. You go there, and I love all the rebates they have, you know? Isn't that nice of them? They give you your rebate, so you feel really good because you got a couple rebates in your wallet, and you go in there, and you can actually spend your own money again. They give it back to you. But it redeems it. That's what it's all about. This word redemption, or the same word, is used in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, where it says that Christ redeems us from the curse of the law. Jesus saw our lives ruined and ravished by sin, and he redeemed us. He bought us back. He died on the cross so that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with him, have eternal life. He redeems our lives. He buys them back. That's what this word means. And so we are to buy back what? The time. The word time here, it doesn't mean just little increments of time like minutes and seconds, but it means seasons of opportunities. It's the idea of looking for strategic opportunities and seizing them for the Lord, taking advantage of those God-sized opportunities in a great way. And so it's not just using time wisely, because anybody can do that, right? But it is living your life for the fullest, to the fullest, for God. And very important, that last part, for God. It's not just living life full, that's great, but we got to live our lives for God. That's redeeming the time, that's buying back all those opportunities. You say, well, how do you do that, though? How do you redeem the time? Well, there's two aspects of this that I'd like to bring out. And the first aspect is what we should be spending our time on. So, first of all, you determine what is important, and then you prioritize accordingly. You determine what is important, and then you prioritize accordingly. And you say, well, there's so many opportunities. There are. There's so many things you can give your life to. There are so many different things you could do in life, thousands, millions of them. How do you determine what is really important? Now, I don't want to oversimplify this today, but one of the great ways you can determine that is right here. I believe that's one of the reasons God gave us his word. He gave us his word so that we could know him and have a relationship with him, but then also so we could know how to live our lives. It's a good reason to be in the word every single day, because you're going to be digging out truths and principles that will guide your steps and help you to really prioritize what's going on in life. Now, there are a lot of passages that will help direct us, but one that has meant a lot to me over the years is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, which says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." In the context, Jesus is saying, you don't need to worry. Don't be anxious. Everybody's worried about what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, what they're going to wear. What's going to happen tomorrow? You don't have to worry about those things as long as you're focused in on what matters. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I've got you covered. Seek first. It's a priority. Many, many times I've had to go back to that and say, okay, God, I want my life to count. And so direct my steps. Just this past year, I went through that as I was praying and feeling like God had something more for me. And I just felt like, God, I want to do more for you. The time is short. I want to do more for you. And God directed my steps through his word, and he directed me here to Fox River. So he'll direct you in big ways in your life as well as small ways. How you spend your money reveals your priorities. And if I were to look at your bank statement or your checkbook, I could kind of tell you what some of your priorities are in life, right? It works the same way with our time. How we spend our time reveals our priorities. You know, they did a study on an average 70-year-old man, and they broke down his life, kind of put it in a pie chart situation here, and it's quite revealing. 70 years. He spent 24 years sleeping. Wow. That's kind of depressing when you stop and think about it. Spend a third of your life sleeping. That's why I don't like to sleep. But at least when I sleep, my wife tells me I redeem the time, because I'm always sawing down somebody else's forest. You know what I mean? And so 24 years, 14 years working, 8 years in amusement, 6 years eating, make a case for fast food there, 5 years in transportation, talk about a long traffic jam, 4 years in conversation, 3 years education, 2 years reading, 4 years miscellaneous. And in that 4 year of miscellaneous category, you might not be able to see it, but right here is that little bit of yellow sliver. And you know what that represents? Spiritual pursuits, like going to church and praying. Wow. Would you like to know what yours looks like? Maybe not. I'm not sure I do either. It's very convicting to think about the priorities in our time. That is right there. So here's a warning that I want to have for all of us, okay? Don't lose your balance. Don't lose your balance. We do have to have time for everything. We have to eat. We have to sleep. We have to recreate. We got to live life in balance. And I can't just give you a list of things to do today. Every one of us has to determine that ourselves. We have to seek God. We have to seek His kingdom and say, how does that break down for me? What does my life look like? What do you want me to do today? And you got to live it all in balance. Sometimes I tell people the most spiritual thing you can do is just take a nap. But not now. So God wants us to live it all in balance. Now, once we've figured it out, what we are supposed to do, what our priorities are, it makes it a lot easier to leave other things out because we know they don't fit, which leads me to the second aspect of redeeming the time, which is determining what is not important and then eliminating accordingly. Once you got it down, these are my priorities, this is God honoring, then it's a lot easier to say, okay, this doesn't fit, or no. We have to learn to say no. Now, how many of you have time wasters in your life? Okay, be honest now, okay? Not just me, right? I can waste time in many, many different ways. I think we all can. We have those time wasters. How about hobbies? Anybody got hobbies? Shout out some of your hobbies to me today. What are some of your hobbies? Scrapbooking. Sewing. Reading. Football. I knew somebody was going to bring that up. We'll talk about that in a minute. All kinds of hobbies. Now, I don't know where they cross the line between being a good pursuit, something that we need in our lives that's in balance, and where it becomes just a waste of time, but they can become a waste of time, right? You can be one of those hunters that hunts everything that moves, right? Or a shopper that goes to every single store, or somebody who gets into quilting, and before you know it, everybody's finding quilted underwear in their stockings at Christmas time, and you know, you got all these things happening. How about stuff? Does that take any time? Our stuff? Toys? They say the difference between men and boys or the price of their toys. And so we have these toys, and of course, they take time, and we've got to play with them, and we've got to spend time, and we've got to keep them up, and we've got to upgrade them, and we've got to study them and figure them out. And oh, yeah, they can take a lot of our time. Some of you are going, oh, good, he didn't touch on my area. How about all the media-related stuff? This is becoming huge, right? Television, movies, the internet, Facebook, Pinterest, games, you name it, right? It goes on and on and on. Well, that's not one of my big time wasters, and part of the reason why is because I'm not very good at it. Let me explain. A couple of weeks ago, I was on my way out of here. I got done with work. Look at that. I didn't even have it the right side up. I think I know which side. It's up and down. So I'm on my way out of here after work one day, and so I wanted to text ahead and let my wife know what time I was coming home. So I texted her real quick in the parking lot, ETA 7:15, love you, heart you, right there, okay? So estimated time of arrival, 7:15. By the way, I don't text while I drive, and I don't do my makeup while I drive. Everything else is fair game, I think. So I got that out there, and I went on my merry way. Well, a while later, I got this text back. I'm thinking that wasn't for me. Smiley face. I'm like, okay, who did I text? Looked it up. It was Jesse Velasco, Pastor Guy's daughter. She's thinking, this is a little strange right here. Okay, this guy's creeping me out here. Jesse, I love you, but she doesn't want to hear it that way, I'm sure. So then after a while, I went ahead and texted her and said, haste makes waste, good thing I didn't elaborate. Yeah, you ever been there? Fat fingers, hit the wrong button? That's what happens. But it can take up so much of our time, right? Some of you right now are doing it. You're not listening, right? They did a study, the Kaiser Family Foundation does this study every 4 years, a media-related stuff for 8 to 18-year-old kids to see how much time they spend in an average day, and they got other breakdowns with this on media-related stuff. Now, this is outside of school, but television, movies, internet, texting, all those kinds of things put together. How much time do you think the average 8 to 18-year-old spends in those related endeavors outside of school? How many think 0 to 5 hours per day average? How many think 5 to 10 hours a day average? How many think 10 to 15 or more? Okay? The answer is 9 hours and 38 minutes. 7 hours. See, it just keeps going up. Just keeps going up. Good thing they got this to keep me honest, right? Don't want to stretch the truth. 7 hours. That's over 53 hours a week. And these are old statistics because the last study was done in 2009, published in 2010. Which way do you think this is going?
Higher.
Higher. It might be up to 9 hours by now. Okay? I'm not here to pick on you. I'm not here to put the kids down because adults are the same way. We have all of our time wasters, right? Might be even some of the same things, right, like that. I'm planning on watching a football game later today. 3 hours. Sit down and watch a game for 3 hours. That's a lot of time. I'm hoping it's not a waste of time. Okay? I saw Rogers is back. He's been in the auditorium all day long here. So. But do you have those time wasters? I'm not trying to be the Grinch that stole your media-related device that you just got for Christmas and you love it. Some of you kids are holding them very tightly right now because you think your parents are going to take them away. But I don't want you to waste your life. You got to keep it in balance. There's a time and there's a place for these things, but how much? Is it really going to help you to get to that next level in the next game? Because once you get there, there's just going to be another game and 1,000 more after that. I mean, what is the point in all of this? And we say we're busy, right? Some of you just went to family gatherings over the holiday like I did, and you ask people, you say, well, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine, right? Life could be miserable, it could really stink, but everybody's doing fine. What you been up to? Oh, busy, busy, busy. Busy, 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 busy. Oh, yeah, good, you know, place to go, things to do, people to see. Everybody's busy. But what would happen if we redeemed the time? What would happen if families ate meals together and made those media-free zones and actually had some spiritual conversations that mattered and spent time together in prayer and quality time, just having some fun together and enjoying one another, those kinds of things? What would happen if we look for those little groupings of time that we could buy back, just even 15 minutes a day? You know, if you redeem 15 minutes a day over a year, that'd be over 90 hours. What could you do with two more 45-hour work weeks? A lot, right? 15 minutes a day, you could read your Bible through in a year. That'd be a great goal. If you've never done that before, let me encourage you to do that. Cover to cover, you say, oh man, that's a huge thing. Never did that before. Just 15 minutes a day, you could do that. You could redeem the time that way. An awesome way. But there's lots of other ways you could redeem the time too. Little ways, big ways, God will direct our steps as we seek Him. So redeeming the time is finding those minutes, those hours, those seasons of opportunity and seizing them. It's focusing on what really matters. It's dumping those things that don't matter. It's eliminating those time wasters. And if we do that, we redeem the time, we're going to have more time for the things that really do matter. We're going to have time for our relationship with God, our relationship with loving others, serving others, doing the things that matter for all eternity. Wouldn't that be awesome that way? Well, here's another important insight that way. Have you ever wished for more time in a day? I have. Coming up to the holidays, you're like, oh, I just wish I had a couple more hours to do this or do that. Here's something important to think about. God has given us all the time we need to do what He wants us to do. That's an amazing thing to think about. He has given us all the time we need to do what He wants us to do. Not what I want to do. It's not about me. It's not about my kingdom. But what He wants us to do. There are a lot of great things that we can do in this life, right? but we can't do them all. What does God want us to do? He's given us 24 hours. So the real challenge there is figuring out the things we shouldn't be doing, the things that we're involved in that we shouldn't be involved in. How many of you have to-do lists? Okay? To-do lists. You just like to put those things down, check them off. Great, right? Some of you are real list keepers, and you get those things checked off. That's great. How many of you have to-don't lists? I think we need more of these. I heard somebody say this past year in a conference, they said, you need to find something every week and quit it. Good advice. Always looking for those priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God and redeem the time. Because if you don't, you either use it or what? Lose it. Say it again, do that with me. Use it or lose it. You either redeem the time or you lose the time. Here's the third time reality. It's very simple, but it's yet very profound. Life is short. Life is short. James reminds us of this in James chapter 4 and verse 14. He said, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. It's gone. It's like a puff of smoke that's there and the next minute it's gone. It's like your breath on a cold morning, like tomorrow morning will be, and you breathe that out and it's gone just like that. That's how quick life goes. And the older you get, the faster it goes. And before you know it, it's gone. Just that fast. Well, you may have heard this one, but there was this guy who went to the doctor for his annual checkup, and he was waiting for the results. A couple of weeks passed, and the doctor called him back in and says, yeah, I just want to share with you the results of your checkup. But he said, I'm sorry, it's not really good news. He said, I've got bad news, and I've got worse news for you. What would you like first? The man's like, what? Bad news? Worse news? That's terrible. I don't know. Just give me the bad news first. So the doctor says, the bad news is, according to the tests we ran and everything, you only have 24 hours to live. What? The man was perplexed. 24 hours? How can that be? I've got so many things to do. I can't get all these things done. I can't put my affairs in order in 24 hours. That's crazy. What could be worse news than that? The doctor said, well, the worst news is, I was supposed to tell you that yesterday. But I forgot. And we can laugh at that. We make jokes about death and dying and try to gloss it over and all those kinds of things. But some of you know this isn't a laughing matter. Some of you have buried loved ones this past year. I talked to somebody after the last service that just reminded me. He said God really gave him this James verse just to help him with the passing of his loved one. And it goes so fast. The psalmist helped us to put it in perspective. Psalm chapter 90, verses 10 and 12. Says, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. And so the psalmist gives us this prayer, if you would, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. How long do we have to live? Nobody knows for sure, but the psalmist says 70 years, 80? That's God's perspective. By reason of strength, maybe 80, 90. Some people make it to 100. Some people don't make it that long. We don't know. And that's why he says how fast it is. He says they quickly pass. Before you know it, it's over. I was talking to a friend a couple of weeks ago, and he and his family are just heartbroken because this past year they suffered a terrible tragedy. His wife was hit and killed by a drunk driver. And they've got three children, and it's just a very sad, difficult situation for he and his family. And I was trying to just be a help and comfort to him. And I remember the day that I found out about it, and I rushed over to their house. I came in their front door, and their little girl, who's about 11 years old, saw me. She was on the upper level. She came running down and just kind of buried her head into my side and gave me a big hug and just started sobbing. What do you say in a moment like that? I mean, she was heartbroken. She didn't have a chance to say goodbye to her mom. There was no warning. Nobody would have expected it. She was a very healthy lady. In fact, she was training for a marathon and was just out for a jog that day. Just out enjoying a beautiful Sunday afternoon, and all of a sudden, a drunk driver comes by and kills her. Just like that. So here's what I got to say to you today. Don't wait. Life is short. Don't put it off. I don't know what you need to do, but don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Some of you have relationships that have been strained, and you need to get those things right with maybe a friend or a loved one. Don't put it off. Go to that person. Get things right. Some of you need to get right with God. Your relationship with Him isn't what it needs to be. He's waiting with open arms. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, let me invite you to do that. Don't put it off. He redeemed you. You just need to come to Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Some of you just need to take the time to tell your family, your loved ones, that you love them. Say it. And then do it. Follow through on it. But don't put it off, whatever that is. I like what Ecclesiastes has to say because it puts it all back in perspective again for us. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." Kind of puts it right where it is, right? We don't know how long we have. Life is short. So you either use it or what? Lose it. That's how it is. So what? I always ask myself this question every time I preach and I prepare a message. So what? So what about what God has to say? Or what about that passage? What does this mean? So what does God want me to do with this? How do I apply it? That's why I got that box in the notes there for you. So what? And the box is blank because I can't fill it in for you. But let me encourage you to pray about it and think about it. What would God have you to do? In light of the fact that each day is a gift, time must be redeemed, and life is short, what would God have you to do? Maybe there's something you need to do yet today and not put it off. Maybe there's something you need to do this next week. Maybe there's something that you need to follow through on this next year, maybe a bigger thing, a new habit, a new way of life. I don't know what it is. But God does. And so let me encourage you in that regard. So, this next year we each have 365 days. 86,400 seconds each one of those days. And you either say it, use it, or lose it. I hope this next year is a great year for you, to the glory of God. And I hope that you follow through on whatever it is that God shows you to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the gift of life, the gift of time. We're here and now because you have put breath in our lungs. You have given us this opportunity. Help us to live it for you. Help us to be spending it wisely on the things that really matter. For those that might be struggling today and need the courage to follow through on some things, God, give them that courage. Give them that faith. Help them to rely upon you, and help us all, Lord, to be seeking first your kingdom, not our own, that you might be glorified. We give this all back to you in praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.